Gentlemen, my goal for today is to finish this overview on the concept of Meleches Machshavos. That's my goal for today. And to introduce the following two questions. Number one, they're both related to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, how does that relate to Meleches Machshavos? And number two, Rabbi Yehuda's view on Dovah Sheina Miskaved. And how does that relate to Meleches Machshavos? Now, let's take a look at two Rashis. One is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis in Masechta Shabbos, and the other is on Daf Kuf Vav Amid Aleph in Masechta Shabbos.
So we don't have the top. We have Kuf Vav is on the other side of one of the pages, but we don't have.
So let me give you a Simon Mufok here.
Okay.
If you see on the top right a Tosus Dibra Maskel Visoser, and you may even see that it says Bamem Adlikin, that's Lamed Aleph Amid Beis.
Yeah, okay.
So in mine it appears, I guess I had the original or whatever, the original copy. And then if you see a page that says Ha'oreg on top, I don't know if you can see that, or a Tosus on the left, it'll say Chutz. Do you see a Tosus on the top, they'll say Chutz.
Chutz is Kufa.
That's Kufa.
Right.
And then, which is going to be the third page that we want to look at, Tosus Gzeiro, which is Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. Okay then? So let's start with Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Okay then? Gedalia, see if you can help Harvey find it, if you don't mind.
That would be Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, is this one. Which Rashi are we talking about? Olam Krav Yudas here.
Yeah, but before we get to the Rashi, let's just give a little bit of background. We're talking about the Malacha called Mechaber, which means to extinguish a light. And the yisod of this sugya, just to give you the background, is that machabe per se seems to be a destructive malacha, or in Rashi's language it's called a siluk, right? Siluk means lesalek, to remove something. But it can be viewed as preparation for eventually rekindling the light. And that's called machabe almanas lahadlik. And we're going to see that that's critical in all, not just in Meleches Machabe, but in all Melechos that belong, Rashi says, to a category called Meleches Siluk. For example, Rashi will give the case of Soter, exactly, where he's destroying something because he's going to build Korea Menat Litfar, and Rashi has it by Mochek Almanas Lichtov. So there's a whole group of Melechas which in and of themselves look like, if you isolate them on their own, Meleches Siluk, you're removing something, that would be a Mekalkel. But since his Kavana is to prepare for the next stage, which is a Tikkun, that makes it into Meleches Tikkun. So that's the first introduction. Second introduction is that the Mishnah discusses a person who extinguishes the candle for one of three reasons. Either for the sake of the shemen, or for the sake of the ner, or for the sake of the psila. So we'll go through these three. In the case of the shemen, he wants to limit the loss of the shemen. The shemen is subject now to combustion, and he needs the shemen for future lighting. So he puts out the candle, so he'll still have a residue of shemen to relight the candle. In the case of the nair itself is the receptacle that holds the shemen. That receptacle becomes blackened with time because the oil itself has a detrimental impact. So he wants to put out the candle to preserve the nair. And in the third case, there's the psila. The psila itself is the wick, and he wants to put out the wick because otherwise, if he leaves it lit, then eventually there's nothing left to the wick. So the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says the following. If he's extinguishing the candle for the sake of either the shemen or the ner, he's potter. If, on the other hand, he's extinguishing the candle for the sake of the psila, then he's chayav. And the Gemara thinks that this issue, let's take the simple cases, and that's the the case of Ner and Shemen, in those two cases, do we have another copy for Zev? No? Yeah, we made three copies. Okay, sorry, Zev, but you'll clue in. Actually, in a few minutes I can give you my copy because I have the Gemara itself, but I just underlined certain things. Oh, you have your own Gemara. Oh, so if you can turn to Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, that's great. So in the cases of what's called in the language of the Mishnah, Kechas al Hashem and Kechas al Haner, Rabbi Yossi says you're potter. And the premise is that Rabbi Yossi is saying you're potter because that's not called Almanas Lahadlik. Why is it not Almanas Lahadlik? I mean, he needs the residue of the Shemen, the reserve of the Shemen, in order to light later on. He needs the Ner in order to hold the Shemen. So Lechora, that would be Almanas Lahadlik. And that's what the Gemara is going to analyze. But in the third case, where he's chas al apsila, where he needs the wick itself, so he's extinguishing it before it goes up in smoke, in that case, Rabbi Yossi says yachayev. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to analyze Rabbi Yossi's shita in the following way. The Gemara says that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. What that means is that if I don't need the melacha itself, just that I do the melacha because I get a side benefit from it, which is called a tzorech tzadi, something external, then Rabbi Shimon says you're potter. You don't need the gufa melacha, you have no purpose. And the fact that you have another tzorech, which is on the side, you get some other benefits from it, that's not the tzorech gufa. Again, all these concepts have to be fleshed out, but just to get it in general. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that the concept of tzorech is much broader, and much wider, and it includes even a tzorech tzadi. I need it for whatever reason, that's also called a tzorech, that's valid, and therefore I'm chayav. The Gemara thinks that offhand, all three cases, whether it's kechas al haner, whether it's kechas al shemen, whether it's kechas al psil, in all three cases, that's called a tzorech tzadi. That's called eino tzricha legufa. Therefore, the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Yossi, you're being inconsistent. The Gemara doesn't see any difference now between the cases of ner, shemen, or psila. And therefore, in all three cases, since he's not interested in the, shall we say, the gufa shel meleches mechabe, he doesn't need the kibui, he's just trying to save himself a financial loss because he wants to be able to rekindle it. That's dependent upon the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yossi kiman svirale, a kind of imanafshach. Ikir Rabbi Yehuda svirale. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a malachah shen tzricha leguf is chayav, then even in the cases of chas al shemen and chas al haner, he should be chayav. Afilu b'hanach nami lechayav. The ikir Rabbi Shimon svirale. If on the other hand he holds Blokshen Tzvich Legufa is potter, and therefore that justifies why he's potter in the cases of Chas Al Haner, Chas Al Shemen, is Psila namely potter. He should also be potter in the case of Chas Al Psila. What makes Psila different? Omar Ula, Li Olam Ki Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. Rabbi Yossi accepts the principle of Blokshen Tzvich Legufa Chayav. However, there's another issue over here, which again, just to reiterate, Zev, you aren't here, Rashi calls him Melecha Siluk. And Mechabe is a classical case, says Rashi, of Melecha Siluk. And we have to square Melecha Siluk with the issue of Mekalkil versus Metaken in the case of Soser. Nachon Shu Imu Soter Azu Betem Mekalkil Aval Imu Osetzel Almanat Livnos, then it becomes a kilkel for the sake of tikkun. Oh. So the Gemara says that to the extent that we take bona, I mean soser and bona as our classical melechas siluk, a paradigm of melechas siluk, we go back to the Mishkan, and we find that in the Mishkan, when they did soser, it was almanas livnos bimkomo. Rashi is going to try to explain this. Now what that means is that what you're what you're getting rid of is a preparatory stage to be replaced by something even better. You're improving. That creates out of a Melech HaSiluk some sort of a tikkun, something constructive. But only on the condition that I see a direct relationship between the Melech HaSiluk and the preparation, and for what's going to come after the Siluk. And the Tziruf, the linkage, is going to be Bim Koma, meaning if I'm taking apart a structure here and I'm going to rebuild the structure elsewhere, that's not called Siluk Almanas Livnos Bim Komo, and it remains a Melech HaSiluk in your pot. If, on the other hand, I'm removing this little budka because it's falling apart, it's dilapidated, and I want to rebuild a structure in its place, I need to free up the space, that's bimkomo, then it becomes a meleches tikkun, meaning it's preparation for the next stage. And the Gemara is going to say that that's going to be the difference between chasal aner and chasal shemen. That's going to be a kibui al manas lahadlik b'makom acher, and therefore your potur. So again, even though from the perspective of Malach Shein Yisrichel and Gufa you'd be chayav because Rav Yossi adopts the sheet of Rav Yehuda, but nevertheless there's another issue here, Malach HaSiluk, and there is a condition of Bim Komo which is only fulfilled in the case of Psila. What makes Psila unique is that he wants to rekindle the Psila right here. He's going to use the Ner and the Shemen elsewhere, but the Psila he wants to use here. And Rashi's going to explain how that works. So don't ask me questions about that yet, but again, just to get the general picture here for our purpose. Go ahead, sir. Maybe. Again, I don't want to get into that question now because it's going to derail me. I have actually a curriculum for today, believe it or not. And I want to study with you Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Li olam kirab Yehuda svirli. Demishum. Do you have it? I underlined it. Demishum eina tzricha legufa lo miftar. Okay. Now, let me add a little bit of an introduction here to this Rashi. Okay. If you recall, we mentioned in the past a Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yudam in Beis. In fact, today is Thursday, correct? So I think I mentioned it already on Tuesday. And that Gemara establishes the concept of Meleches Machshemes Osra Torah, which Rashi says we derive from the Smichus HaParshis in Vayakel between Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan. And the Gemara applies the principle of Meleches Machshemes in the following case. Rabbi Shimon holds Melacha Sheinitzricha Legufa Potter. And the Gemara explains why is according to Rav Shimon, why is a person in a Melech Shein Tzichu Patur? Because of Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah.
It's never was Machsheves.
It wasn't Machsheves. Why wasn't it Machsheves? Rashi says because Meleches Machsheves means that Midaito V'Machshavto Kamachavim. And here Rav Shimon adds the following. When you say Meleches Machsheves Midaito Umi Kavanoso, you mean for the Gufa Shel Malach. That's Reb Shimon's embellishment of. So the question now arises, what about Reb Yehuda? The Gemara says on Chagiga Yudam in Peis that Reb Yehuda agrees that Mekalkel is Potter on Shabbos. And the Gemara uses that for Rabbi Yehuda as an example of what's called Harim Hatluyim Besara, which means Torah Shebalpeh, whereas the Torah Shebechsav is just a Sara, but everything's in Torah Shebalpeh. So the Gemara quotes Meleches Machsheves in Rabbi Shimon's frame of reference to explain why it's all Torah Shebalpeh, meaning because Rabbi Shimon says Melech Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Patur. When it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara gives the example of Mekalkel. And it's not crystal clear why you're potter from Mekalkel. It's definitely Torah Shebal Peh. Tosus identifies it as Meleches Machsheves. Rashi doesn't say a word. So we're not sure if the Ptur of Mekalkel, which even Rabbi Yehuda accepts, according to Rashi, is based on Meleches Machshavos, there may be a whole different reason why Mekalkel is Potter. Because keep in mind, Rashi in Chagiga at least defines Meleches Machshavos as Melachash and Nasis Bekavanot Bedaito Bemachshavto. He had a Machshava for this Melacha. And Rashi is explaining why Reb Shimon holds that he didn't have das for the tzorech of the melacha, and therefore he's patur. He was lacking in meleches machsheves. But when it comes to mekalkel, Rashi doesn't exactly spell it out. He leaves us in the dark as to whether or not mekalkel is a patur, is a subcategory of chisar and meleches machsheves. And that leads us to the following question: if, with a big IF, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mekalkel is Potter on Shabbos, not because of Meleches Machshavos, but for some other reason, his Machshava is absolutely complete, even though it's Mekalkel, I can decide I want to destroy this table, and it's purely Mekalkel, but I made that decision, and I was Mechavin to do this Melacha Bekilkel. And Rashi identifies Meleches Machshavos as Kavanoso Machshavto. Then perhaps Rabbi Yehuda never accepted the principle of Meleches Machshavos. You'll ask me, why did the Torah place Mishkan and Shabbos in the same parasha, continues one to the other? Well, Rashi and Chumash gives us one clue, you know, that the Binyan based on Mishkan, Binyan on Mishkan is not Docha Shabbos. Perhaps this is the source for the number 39, that there are 39 Melachos then building the Mishkan, 39 Melachos on Shabbos, and many answers to the question of what the word Meleches Machshavos might be and might mean as far as Shabbos is concerned. But nobody tells me that, according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, Meleches Machshavos is the source for a Ptur Shabbos because of Machshavto and Kavanos. Is Memela, I don't know what Rabbi Yehuda holds in the case of Meleches Nitzricha L'Gufa Chayav. Is he holding that Reb Shimon is right if there was Meleches Machshavos, but I reject Meleches Machshavos? Or is Rabbi Yehuda holding I accept Meleches Machshavos, but I hold that even a Meleches Nitzricha L'Gufa is a Meleches Machshavos? And now I want to learn the Rashi with you, because I think Rashi is taking a position on this question. Rashi says, Li'olam Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, Mishum Di'ena Tzricha L'Gufa Lo Miftar. And at this point, I'm going to write Rashi in my own words for pedagogic purposes, but what I'm writing is absolutely not Rashi. But I would have said the following if I was writing Rashi: Mishum Eino Tzricha L'Gufa Lo Miftar Delo Sfirle Meleches Machshavos. That Rabbi Yehuda rejected the concept of Meleches Machshavos. But look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hoil Utzricha L'Dover Acher Meleches Machshavos. What conclusion do I derive from this Rashi as far as Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Jeff, can you say it out loud? I see it's in your mind.
It's Machshavos.
That Rabbi Yehuda requires Meleches Machshavos. There's no fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Meleches Machshavos. This is a very important Rashi for me. And I want to show you that Rashi is very consistent elsewhere in Masechta Shabbos. So right now we're looking on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and Rashi says that you should know that Rabbi Yehuda likewise admits that there's a requirement of Meleches Machshavos, but Rashi says, Holu Tzricha L'Dover Acher. He does have a Tzorech, albeit not the Gufa Shel Melacha, but some sort of Zaitik, some sort of side Tzorech that he has. Therefore, Meleches Machshavos. V'chima Chavale Mishum Chaisa D'Shemen V'ner. So now we have to ask the question, if Rabbi Yossi accepts the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, then why is he put in the case of Chasal Ner Chasal Shemen? V'ner Hainu Time of the Potter, not because of Melacha Shenitzricha L'Gufa, because we have a Tzorech, even though it's L'Dover Acher, but Tzorech L'Dover Acher, according to Rabbi Yehuda, qualifies as a valid Tzorech, and therefore it is Meleches Machshavos. But Kasover Sosa Amanas Livnos Bimkomo Habi Havi Soser. When does the Malach of Soser apply? That's only if he wants to build it in that place. And if he doesn't want to rebuild in that place, then it comes under a different principle. Kol Mekalkil the Shabbos Havipotu Delav Hainu Meleches Machshavos. Now it's beautiful. Because remember, the Gemara gave an example of Torah Sheval Peh in Shabbos from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective as Mekalkil is Potu. Mekalkil is also a case of Meleches Machshavos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Meloch Sheni Tzricha Gufa is a fulfillment of Meleches Machshavos. You can check off that requirement because he has a Torah. Albeit abroad, it's Tzorach L'Domer Acher, but he has a Tzorach. But as far as Mekalkil is concerned, Rashi identifies the Ptur of Mekalkil as Meleches Machshavos, which is also Tosus in Chagiga and Daf Yudim in Beit. So Rabbi Yehuda's application of Meleches Machshavos is to Mekalkil. And Rabbi Shimon's application of Meleches Machshavos is to Meloch Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa. Rabbi Yehuda would also apply Meleches Machshavos as a requirement in Meloch Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa, but he holds that the Tzorach itself, even though it's not L'Gufa, it's L'Domer Acher, that's enough to make it a fulfillment of Meleches Machshavos. But in the case of Mechaber, what do we have? A different problem. As far as the fact that he wants to salvage the Ner or the Shemen, which is L'Tzorach Domer Acher, that's not a Chisor in Meleches Machshavos. Because Rabbi Yossi is identified now with Hushita, Rabbi Yehuda, that Meloch Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa, Chayav, says Rashi, but we have another problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Ptur of Meleches Machshavos applies in what case? In Mekalkel. And in order to undermine the Mekalkel and make it into a Meleches Machshavos, I need Almanas, Livnos Bimkomo. And that's going to explain the difference between Ner and Shemen on the one end and Psila on the other end, which is the balance of this very, very long Rashi to explain why Psila is different. And that's called Bimkoma. Tisnan Ovos Malachos the Mechayev Soser Almanas Livnosu Vienu Yochel Livnos Elim Kain Sosro. He has no possibility of Binyan unless he takes it apart. The Hashtin, since he's taking it apart with the express purpose of rebuilding it. Lav Kilkulhu Rabbi Yossi Sover the Imbimakomo Choseru Bonehu Imbimakomo Choseru Boneh. If he's going to rebuild it in that same spot, then it becomes a tikkun, then it becomes almanas livnos ve'ilo. But if he's not going to rebuild it in that place, then it's not considered almanas livnos. So we have to have a very direct connection or a tziruf between his melacha of soser and his meleches binyan, which is going to follow, and the makomo. The makom is the agent that creates that tziruf. It's also a meleches siluk. Why do you disoser? Who is removing the light? V'chein korea, do you disoser? Ulahachi tanana korea almanas litvar hamochek almanas lichtov. Kulam soser ninhu. All of them are a kind of a stira or a siluk. They're removing something. Oh. Hilkach alap sila chaisedidei enol hadlik. If he's putting out the candle in order to save and salvage the wick, that's considered a meleches tikkun. B'chav almanas lahadik hayu bimkomo. In other words, he's going to rekindle the psila in his place.
This is that by definition, if you're chasal psila, why you chasal psila? It's only to be able to light it again.
Right.
That's what the...
Okay, maybe that's it. Amalki chas ala ner ala shemen. He says, al psila eino chas, the eino choshesh mashlicha, he's going to throw out the psila and replace it. Afilu tzarech l'shemen, even though he needs the shemen, lahadlik bo psila acheres, liacheres man, b'toch haner. So he's going to take this shemen and he's going to replace it with a psila later on. Is ein zeh soser almanas livnos bimkomo, she'ein hakibui v'havara lo b'shemen v'lo b'ner el b'psila. So the psila is that which is burning, right? And the combustion, the shemen is the combustible material, it's the fuel for the burning. The receptacle is only holding it. So when does it become a replacement? That's the psila, because the ash is always in the psila. So when he puts out the ash in the psila, he's going to rekindle that same psila, as that's called soser almanas livnos bimkom. Now, why do I say that there's another Rashi that I think is consistent? If you turn to Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, and you'll see I underlined a Rashi about a third of the way down, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara establishes that Chovel Umavir, which I would say in most cases are Meleches Kilkul, because you're wounding someone and removing his blood, or an animal and removing its blood. Mavir means you're burning something. Says the Gemara, it must be that you need the Melacha for some purpose. If you don't need the Chavola or the Mavir for any purpose, then it becomes Meleches Kilkul. And the Mishnah establishes that Kol HaMekalkel Peturim, meaning 39 out of 39, no exceptions. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rashi, the Islay Rabbi Yehuda holds Mekalkel B'Chabura Potur. Now, where does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Potur? Says Rashi, Lo Isparish Eicha. I didn't find it anywhere. No Mishnah, no Brisa, no Tosa, nowhere. The Li Nira, Rashi says the Shtikel Torah. All of a sudden, Rashi became a Rosh Hashiva, which is his own chidushim. And he says, "Masnitzin Rabbi Yehudi diomer malacha shenitzrich legufa chayav ale." Here's the paradox. Even though Rabbi Yehuda is machmir malacha shenitzrich legufa, he's going to be mekil in chovel mavir, and he's going to require that there be some sort of a tzorech that converts it into a malacha tzrich legufa, so to speak. And only then is he chayav. So the machmir in Malacha Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa, namely Rabbi Yehuda, is the Mekil with regard to Chabura and Mavir, because in those two Malachas he's going to require that they be constructive. Hilkach, therefore says Rabbi Yehuda, Chiyuv v'dechovil b'tzarech l'kalbo u'mavir b'tzarech li'ofro mishkachasle. Even though he has no need for the wounding of his victim, he just has to extract the blood, even though he has no benefit from the burning down of his victim's gadish, his haystack. But nevertheless, it's eino tzrich legufa, but he does have a tzarech. He's going to take the blood and he's going to feed it to his dog. He's going to take the efer and he's going to put his egg inside the efer and cook his egg. The afal pi de mekalkel who ate so malacha atzma, says Rashi, if you talk about the malacha itself, meaning this object which you are injuring by removing its blood, or this object which you are burning, that's called a kilkel ate so malacha atzma, but nevertheless, misakin who ate so acherim, he has a side benefit from it.
That's a tzorech tzadi, which Rabbi Yehuda says is chayav.
Correct. That's the tzorech tzadi, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's chayav. Rabbi Yehuda ki hai gavna, when he has such a tzorech tzadi, that's already a fulfillment of meleches machsheves, requirement of meleches machsheves, u melachahu mishum tikun acherim. And it's a considered a malacha because of the tikkun for acherim. That's because of his broader definition of tzorech. Avol makalkel v'eino metaken. But let's say it was pure mavir, pure chovel, without any tikkun at all. He's not feeding his dog. He doesn't want to put the egg into the ashes. That would be a pure kilkul, and he's potur. So in two places, I think Rashi is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda requires a tzorech. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rav Shimon because he drops the ball on tzorech and he says, I don't need any tzorech. No. Meleches Machsheves says to me that you need a machshava for the malacha and a kavana for this malacha. But the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that requirement of Meleches Machsheves of having a machshava and a kavana for the malacha includes even etzel acherim, even a tzorech acher. So it's not that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the concept of Meleches Machsheves. Now Rabosai, this breakthrough here, that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to Meleches Machsheves, is going to have tremendous repercussions on the subject of today's Shia, and that's a Dover Sheikh Miskav. Because in a number of places of Shas, the Gemara indicates that Rabbi Yehuda asks a Dover Sheikh Miskav on Shabbos. And one could therefore be tempted to draw a conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda does not have the requirement of Meleches Machshavos. So here's the step-by-step process that I want to dedicate the rest of the Shia to. Number one, I want to prove that Dovr Sheinu Miskaven is potter according to Rabbi Shimon because of the requirement of Meleches Machshavos. Right, Meleches Machshavos, Rashi says in Chagiga means he has a Machshava and a Kavana for the Melacha. Here, it happens inadvertently, it's a Dovr Sheinu Miskaven, so therefore it's not Meleches Machshavos. That's point number one. Point number two is that Rabbi Yehuda consistently argues with Rabbi Shimon regarding the Dovr Sheinu Miskaven. Rabbi Shimon said it's mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda said it's asur. But is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that Dovr Sheinu Miskaven comes under the halacha of Meleches Machshavos? And if you'll argue with me, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda never accepted the halacha of Meleches Machshavos, I prove to you from two Rashis that at least according to Rashi, I can't commit to other Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda accepts Meleches Machshavos. And the question is, therefore, what method can we apply? In the case of Meleches Machshavos and Gufo, we had a great method to say that Rabbi Yehuda accepts Meleches Machshavos, but he holds that Litzorach Acher, that's also Meleches Machshavos. But in the case of Dovr Sheinu Miskaven, we had no Kavanah for the Maisa, how can Rabbi Yehuda say it's Asur if Meleches Machshavos Asur Torah? He had no Machshava, he had no Kavanah at all. So that's going to be the issue that I want to discuss with you today.
Can we say in general with Rashi, based on something we brought down on Tuesday with the Amir, the problem with Kilkul is that it maybe by definition Mekalkel is not a Meleches Umnus.
Correct.
Any 2-year-old can be Mekalkel.
Correct. But a Meleches Umnus is a requirement because of Meleches Machshavos. And that's where we came, if you remember, to the following very strange conclusion, that Rashi has Meleches Machshavos under two categories. There are two different meanings to Meleches Machshavos, according to Rashi. One requirement of Meleches Machshavos is in Machshava and Kavanah. And that's Rashi explicitly in Chagiga Yudom and Beis. And then there's another category of Meleches Machshavos, which has to do with the Chashivas of the Melech itself. So Gedalia is very right that in the case of a Kalkil, like the case of Meleches Umnus, the requirement is Meleches Machshavos. And the Gemara in Chagiga, although it never spells that out, Tosas spells it out. Tosas says that when the Gemara establishes in Chagiga that Makalkil is Potur, and that's Harim Atluyim Besara, that's Torah Shebal Peh, Tosas identifies that immediately with Meleches Machshavos. Here, in this Rashi, in the Sugya of Mechaber, right, in the Sugya Mechaber on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Rashi explicitly says that Sosra Amanas Livnos is Hainu Taim Depotu Mishum Dekol Mekalkel Avipotu Delav Meleches Machshavos. Right, so let's underline those words, Lav Meleches Machshavos, and then we could say that Meleches Machshavos means the objective Melacha, has nothing to do with Kavana or Machshava. But in the case of a Kalkil, that's not considered Meleches Machshavos, means it lacks in Chashivus. And we could add to that the Rashi and Beitza about gathering together the Beitzim, that's not a Chashivus of Melacha.
If it's Soter on the Not Livnot, I can make the argument that a Kalkil on the Not Litaken can be considered an Umnus, because then you really know, you need to know how to be Mekalkel in order to be able to build it. So if you're destroying a building, it's one thing to let a 2-year-old destroy a building. If you need to use that land, then you want to make sure that it's being destroyed in the right way, that nothing's being damaged other than what exactly you need to know. So
but the only thing is, Gedalia, I'll tell you why I'm hesitant to say what you're saying, but again, this requires a lot more study, which we're not ready for. I don't believe that Rashi is saying the following, that you need a Meleches Umnus in every single situation in Meleches Shabbos. You can't go through 39 Melechas and tell me I need a Meleches Umnus. Take, for example, Hotzah. Okay, Hotzah, you're going to say it's not a good example. But you can go on and on and on. I don't have to be an Uman to violate Meleches Tochen, or for that matter, even Meleches Mevashel. Rashi means that it's...
It could be that the Melacha itself has to have a component of the...
But again, not every single Melacha. Rashi's saying it about Melechas Ma'amir, because Rashi's saying, what does Ma'amir mean? I gather things together. What did you accomplish over here? But if I do it in a way that's a Meleches Umnus, and maybe Tofer requires umnus, maybe Ksiva requires umnus. I mean, you have to study in each malacha, but I don't think we should be tempted to assume, based on the Rashi and Beitza, that every single malacha, I have to check off the box that it has to be malachas umnus. In certain malachas, the malacha is almost meaningless. It's like you said, a two-year-old could do it, unless it became a malachas umnus. But those are very few malachas, I think, on the list. Now, what is Dabar Sheina Miskavein? So that you have a photocopy on page Choftes Amid Beis. Okay?
Yeah. Maybe Rashi is going to be Klav Lav Shomea Hen. Because if, let's say, he puts three flowers together, they say, what are you, Ma'amir? No, that's not Ma'amir. It means he's trying to set a boundary for what Ma'amir is, and therefore he's coming to say it's Melechet Umnu. Because if you bunch up a couple of flowers or something like that, you're not over on Shabbat. If you put three blocks together,
So I think you're on the same page as me that Rashi's requirement Melechet Umnus is very unique and very singular in the case of Ma'amer. Ma'amer, what is Ma'amer actually? What did I change here? You know, there's nothing going on over here. You know, I just... And Ma'amer nowhere is considered a malacha grua, like an old side. I didn't change anything, just location. So Ma'amer, I changed the location, put it here, took it here, took it there. Rashi needs umnus. Okay. Now what do we have on Daf? Choftes Amid Beis. Right, so we had the Mishnah on the bottom of Choftes Amid Beis about Machabes HaNer. That was the Mishnah of Rabbi Yossi. But that's not what I wanted to call your attention to today, but rather the Gemara before that Mishnah. So let's go through the Gemara again. I'm always hesitant to get derailed, but if you don't mind, we'll de-emphasize part of the sugya in order to get to the main point. But just so that we don't take a line of the Gemara out of context, we're going to go through it. But again, we'll have to come back to this Gemara be'iyun in a different occasion. I just want to get to a certain point. The Gemara says the following, and I'll show you where it is. If you count up from the bottom, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines up from the bottom. The Gemara here quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, that was his name, Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, and Ula. What is their machlokes about? It's about a very, very famous case or scenario in Hilchos Shabbos called Gorer Odom Mita Kise V'Safsal. What happens? He has to carry chairs from one place to the other, and that itself is okay. But inadvertently, what happens is he makes charitzim in the ground, meaning the ground is soft and the chair that he's holding on to is heavy, and as a result of dragging it, that's called grera, he makes charitzim in the ground. And making holes in the ground at Shabbos comes on the Beleches Choresh if it's out in the field. So there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. In this case, we're going to focus now first and foremost on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And regarding Rabbi Shimon, there's going to be a machlokas between Rav Yosef Rabba, Rav Yirmiya Rabba, and Ula. Rav Shimon says, it's mutter. You're allowed to carry these chairs, knowing full well that you might make a charitz. Rav Yehuda says it's awesome. So here we have a machlokas between Rav Yirmiya Rabba and Ula. Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba says that the whole machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is only with regard to gedolim, which means that you're transporting very large chairs.
Oh, big people.
Well, I don't know about people. Maybe people might come under a different halacha. But right now we're talking about kisei mita v'safsa. Different types of chairs and couches and so forth, which he's dragging. Now, why is he dragging them? There's an alternative. Look, or I mean, it's just a rhetorical question. My alternative is not correct, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Namely, why couldn't he carry it on his shoulders? If he wants to prove to us, so to speak, he wants to demonstrate publicly that I'm not interested, you know, he's waving the flag, I'm not interested in making charitzim, don't hold me guilty, don't call me a criminal because I'm making charitzim on Shabbos, then simply put it on your shoulders. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, you can't put it on your shoulders. Why not? Because they're gedolim. But gedolim, they're very heavy. He cannot carry them on his shoulders, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu. If on the other hand they were ketanim, so then the question is, why are you dragging them? And the answer is because you want to make charitzim. Even Reb Shimon agrees that you're not allowed to make charitzim on Shabbos. So Reb Shimon's head there was only because it's clear to everyone that he's not interested in making charitzim. He's transporting beds or couches, but they're so heavy and so large that he has no choice but to drag them over the ground. That's Reb Yirmiyahu. So in the case of ketanim, Reb Yirmiyahu insists that both Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon would answer it. Carry it on your shoulders, don't be lazy. Demonstrate to us, prove to us that you're not interested in making charitzim. But if it's very large, here I don't have the option, if I want to get it from place to place, to carry it on my shoulders. I can only drag it. So Reb Shimon says it's okay. If that's your only option, that's your okay. But Reb Shimon is going to add one condition, that he doesn't have any intention of making furrows in the ground. Then we have Ula. Ula says, on the contrary, the machlokas is dafka in the case of ketanim. In the case of gedolim, where he has no option if he wants to get it from one place to another, but to drag them, it's too large to carry, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're allowed. And that, Rashi says, is dependent upon another sugya, not here in Shabbos, but in Masechta Pesachim, which is called Lo Efshar V'lo Kamachav. Okay, very complicated sugya on Daf Chafei Masechta Pesachim. That's not right now for us. So again, the machlok is going to be in ketanim. According to, what did I just say? According to Ula, what did I say?
Yeah.
The machlok is by ketanim, correct? Yeah. If it's by gdolim, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, because that's called lo efshar. But if it's ketanim, so Rabbi Shimon says, I couldn't care less. Even though it's efshar, and he could equally put in an extra effort and carry him on his shoulders, he's allowed to drag them. Why? Because it's a davar sheni miskaven. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a davar sheni miskaven, in the case of Efshar at least, again, that's the sugya Pesachim, but a davar sheni miskaven is also. That's what we have over here. So Masiv Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, he asks, wait a minute, let's go back to the original source, the original machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer gorer adam mita kisei v'safsa. Why did he mention these three cases of mita, kisei, and safso? The mita and the kisei are considered ketanim, and the safso is considered gedolim. Is kasha travayu? Now we have a double kasha. We have a kasha according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, because Rabbi Yirmiyahu said there Rabbi Shimon is moder in the case of ketanim, and here we have a case of ketanim. And Ula said that the entire machlokas is in the case of gedolim, and here we have ketanim. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not a kasha. Ula mitaris l'taim, Rabbi Yirmiyahu mitaris l'taim. Ula mitaris l'taim and mita dumya de kisei, which means that this mita is much larger than what we think. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu rabba mitaris l'taim and kisei dumya de mita. So basically, Rabbi Yirmiyahu is going to tell us that this whole issue here is about a case of what? Of gedolim. And Ula is going to say it's the whole issue is about a case of ketan. So that's how they all work it out. Now the question is, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Again, that's the Tana Rabbi Shimon. He's going to allow it.
With Rabbi Shimon, where does the sikh ratio come in? Because the whole concept of understanding, did he have in mind to make the Haritz? It's almost lewd. If you know you're going to make it, what does that mean, I had in mind to make it? There's no way not to. I can't not have in mind to make it if I know it's going to happen.
So the Gemara is going to establish, and Rashi quotes it here, that this case, even if it's Gdolim, is not a Psik Reisha. Why? Because if it's a Psik Reisha, and I know up front, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that I am creating Charitzim, then even Reb Shimon agrees that it's awesome. So I'll read to you, for example, I don't know if I brought it here or not, there's a long footnote here. Just 1 second. I just want to see if I brought the right payload. Oh yeah, I think I did. Yeah, go ahead.
There would be a little Yirmiyah Rabbah, who would say probably not.
So again, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, Rabbi Shimon was only mat in the case of Safsolim Gdolim. But if it's Ktanim, then it's Aser. Why? Because why don't you carry it on your shoulder, apparently? Or at least the spectator comes to the conclusion that you're interested in making Charitzim. So when we have the case of Greira Safsol, according to Rav Yirmiyah, we're talking about Rav Shimon being Matir, Safsol and Gdolim, where you don't have the option of placing them on your shoulder. If you had the option of carrying them on your shoulder, then why did you do so? Ula was the one who said the Machlokas is what? In Ktanim. And Rav Shimon is Matir Ktanim, even though he could place it on his shoulders and he doesn't have to drag them on the ground. And the answer is because he doesn't have kavana to make charitzim. Aval gdolim, in the case of gdolim, diriakol muta. Everybody agrees muta. Then you have to introduce Rabbi Yehuda's mode in the case of lo efshar of a lo komachav. So again, okay. So that's good. But what I wanted to point out to your attention here is he has in a footnote the following. Let me just see if I can find this. Okay, I don't find it right now. It's mamish in front of my eyes, I'm sure, but I don't want to waste your time. In any event, it's not a psik reisha. So we'll get to psik reisha b'lineder soon. But first, I want to read to you a Ritva. The Ritva is in Masechta Yoma. What happened in Masechta Yoma? This on Daf Lamed Aleph pays. The Gemara goes through the case of the Kohen Gadol who has to dip into the mikveh. The mikveh is very, very cold. So they want to warm up the mikveh. And what they did was, that was the method back in the day. They took a piece of metal or a utensil that was made of metal, and they heated it up. Then they threw it into the water. And that would take off the chill from the water. So the Gemara here in Masechta Yuma and also Masechta Shabbos on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis has a whole sugya, a whole discussion about what's called mitzarif. Mitzarif means that you strengthen the kli. When you take something that's made of a metal substance and it's hot, and then you throw it into cold water, the cold water strengthens the kli. And that's a problem of either bona, makav patish, whatever it is. Whenever we talk about makav patish, we always have to know Binyan Caleb, and if it's makav patish, whatever it might be. So in this sugya, the Ritva makes the following comment. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yoma that according to Reb Shimon, we're allowed to throw this hot kli into the water because it's a davar she'eino miskaven. My purpose in throwing the kli into the hot water is to cool off the water. I'm not at all interested in strengthening the kli. The kli is strong enough as is. I don't need to add any chizuk. And that's where the Gemara in Yuma is going to get into the whole sugya of psik reisha. That maybe he knows, it's definite, there's going to be a mitzarif, whatever it might be. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, cannot allow this process of cooling, of warming the water by throwing in this hot metal kli, is not an option according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because we have to worry about mitzarif. You'll ask me, Dovah Shein Miskavin. Rabbi Yehuda holds Dovah Shein Miskavin is also. Now, where does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Dovah Sheni Miskavet is also? The Gemara quotes it in Yuma, but where's the original source for it? I don't have it in front of me now, but it's a Mishnah in Masechta Nazir on Daf Mem Beis. And there the question is, if a Nazir is allowed to comb his hair, and inadvertently he's going to rip hair out of his head, which he's not allowed to do. That comes under the Issur Tisporis Nazir. And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though he has no interest, he's not miskaven to remove the hair, but nevertheless, Dovah Sheni Miskaven is also. In another case, the Gemara has certain drugs that a person takes, and as a result of the drug, he no longer can procreate, and the Gemara says that's also according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Dovah Sheni Miskaven. The Gemara speaks about Mochrei Ksus. They're selling garments that are made of linen and wool together, Pishnan of Shatnez, and they're selling it to Goyim, but they have to somehow transport the garment. Are they allowed to wear the garments on their shoulders even though they are wearing Shatnez, but they're not miskaven, they don't have kavana for what we call Hanas Levisha, to benefit from wearing these garments? The Gemara once again says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's us. What do you say? It's all over the place. It's a Mishnah in Kelayim, and in the Gemara, quotes the Mishnah in Kelayim in many different places. This is called Mochrei Ksus Mochrim Kedarkam Ubilvad Shelo Yiskavnu Lehenos. That's according to Reb Shimon, and Reb Yehuda says it's awesome. Now, mind you, in all the cases where Yehuda asks it, like in Nazir or in the Koshal Ikrin that we mentioned before, or in the case of Shatnez, in all these cases, the Gemara says according to Rabbi Yehuda, he gets Malkus. Malkus Dorais. In other words, Dovah Sheni Miskaven is a full-fledged Iser according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Ritva here in Yuma, and believe neither, as we go along, we're going to try to find other Rishonim who agree with this breakthrough of the Ritva. He says the following. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that you get malchus for Dovah Sheni Miskaven, meaning you're also in violation of an Issur D'oraisa, despite the fact that you had no kavana? Hani mili b'chol haTorah kula. That's only as far as the Isurim outside the realm of Shabbos, like Nazir or Sirus, Kol Shel Ikrim, or Shatnez. In all those cases, Rabbi Yehuda holds your Asur Midaraisa because it's a even though it's a Dovah Sheni Miskaven.
But it's inevitable.
Say it one more time, Harvey, I didn't hear you.
It's inevitable, don't you?
Well, yeah, we're not up to Psik Reish yet, so inevitable, that's going to be a whole other sugya called Psik Reish. So let's say it's not inevitable. It's possible, it's plausible. The statistics are serious, are considerate, but it's not inevitable. That's a double negative, right? It's not inevitable. Says the Ritva, Hani Mili, Dovah Sheni Miskaven also ben haTorah l'Rabbi Yehuda v'shar isurim shel Torah delav asiri Shabbos. Kigon. Oh, he gives another example of the Ritva. I forgot about this case. Kotzeitz Baheres. This is Sugyan Rabbi Elazar de Mila. What happens is you're not allowed to cut off tzaras from the goof. If the tzaras had goof, you're not allowed to cut that off. And now it's in the Makom Arla. And the question is, can the father circumcise his son and thereby fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, but at the same time violate the Issur D'oraisa of Kotzeitz Baheres? And in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's asur, min haTorah. Why? Even though he's not miskaven for the Ketzitzas Baheres, what is the father interested in this case? Mila. Nevertheless, it's an Issur D'oraisa. Because Rabbi Yehuda equates a Dovah Sheni Miskaven with a Dovah Miskaven. Again, Hani Mili says the Ritva, Dval D'Gachidish, Ritva, B'chal haTorah kula. We're dealing with the Issur Ketzitzas Baheres, and we gave other examples before. The Loksiv Bahu, with regard to Kol haTorah kula, it never says anywhere Melechas Machshavas. Truth is, it doesn't say Melechas Machshavas on Shabbos either. But through the Hekesh and the Smichas HaParshis, maybe we can create a hamoleches machshavos. Aval hocha. Here, when he takes this steel that's very hot and he throws it into the water, and the cool water is mitzarifit, havi linyan Shabbos. We're dealing with Shabbos. The Easter enemis kame midrabbana bi'almahu. Again, the Pella here is he's talking quite to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds all over the place, Umatum, Metamashem is coming, is us. And not only is it us, it's us in the Torah. And not only that, you get malus. Everything is there. But in Shabbos, even though Rabbi Yehuda insists that Metamashem is coming is us, that's only the Rabban. What's the difference between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula, says the Ritva? Melechas Machshavos. And here we have a third example in Rishonim of Rabbi Yehuda maintaining that Melechas Machshavos applies to Shabbos. But this, I think, is the most far-reaching application. So first, let's go over it one more time. Or, if you don't mind, for myself. I have to go over it. Number one, Rashi says that Dover She'eno Miskav... I'm sorry, start again. Rashi says that Melacha She'enitzricha Legufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would have been a p'tur of Melechas Machshavos, except for the fact that he has a tzorach l'davar acher. Number two, Rashi tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mekalkel is potter because it's not a Melechas Machshavos. And now we have the Ritva. The Ritva is, I think, the greatest shake-up in it. All over the place. In five sugyas in Shas, Rabbi Yehuda says that Dovah Sheinim is Kavit is also. The Gemara applies it to Shas, here in Perkira, and there in Yuma, in Kohen Gadol. Says the Ritva, if I can use a little brisker terminology here, Tzvei Din, Dovah Sheinim is Kavit and Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference splits into two different halachas. There's the Dover Sheni Miskavin of Kol Torah Kula, and then there's the Dover Sheni Miskavin of Shabbos. In Kol Torah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda's Dover Sheni Miskavin is the Orais and Yechayev Malkus. But in Shabbos, Dover Sheni Miskavin is only an Iser Derabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, that radically changes so many sugyas in Shabbos. So take, for example, the discussion that we had about Gorer Adam Kisei v'safsal, and he's not miskaving to make a charitz. And we said according to Rabbi Yehuda it's awesome. Says the Ritva it's awesome midrabbanan according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda embraces the sheet of what the principle of what of Melechas Machshavos, and Dovah Sheinu Miskaving is clearly not a Melechas Machshavos. And keep in mind that Rashi says in Chagiga Daf Yudam in Beis, what is Melechas Machshavos? Machshava v'kavana l'asiyas malacha. He has no machshava, has no kavana l'asiyas malacha. And therefore, it cannot be a Melechas Machshavos. But you might argue with Rabbi Yehuda rejects the principle of Melechas Machshavos. But that's where I show you over and over again that Rashi consistently says that even Rabbi Yehuda requires a Melechas Machshavos. Rabbi Yehuda will say in Mekalkel, it's not a Melechas Machshavos. Rabbi Yehuda will say that in Malach Shein Tzrich Gufen is a Meleches Machshavos, but says the Ritva, in a Dover Shein Miskavi, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not a Meleches Machshavos. Oh. But now we have to ask, yeah, go ahead.
It's a real like a hybrid type of position, and I don't understand why Rabbi Yehuda would have to be Aser if... But basically,
That's my next question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Gedalia is asking the following question. Well, if Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shimon that Dovah Sheinu Miskavin is a chisar and a Meleches Machshavos, and there's no Issa Doraisa, so why do we find that Rabbi Shimon, on the one hand, is going to tell you that a Dovah Sheinu Miskavin is mutar l'chatchila on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda says that the Dovah Sheinu Miskavin is also the Rabbanan? Why did the Rabbanan have to go that far? What is the proof guy here? You're telling me that it's not a Meleches Machshavos. Garnished. If it's not a Meleches Machshavos, you have no Kavana. Why do you insist on Durabana? And if you're going to tell me, well, any Ptur of Meleches Machshavos automatically generates an Issa Durabana, which again begs the question in a sense, because why did the Rabbanan insist on Asering that which the Torah permitted if it's not a Halakha? Then I'll ask you, why is it that in Dover Sheinu Miskavein, which the Ritva identifies as a Ptur of Meleches Machshavos, Beiler Rabbi Yehuda, Beiler Rabbi Shimon, why is Rabbi Shimon saying that in Dover Sheinu Miskavein is Mutter? It could be that in a certain sense, Rabbi Yehuda is more consistent here than Rabbi Shimon. What do I mean? Wherever we find the Ptur of Melechus Mashiach, this is still us of the Rabbanon. Makalkil is us of the Rabbanon. In the case of Rabbi Shimon and Darsh and Malach and Tzrichlu Gufa, it's us of the Rabbanon. In the case of Misasek, which is also a Fisarin and Melechus Mashiach, it's us of the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Yehuda is taking the rule which we call in the Lashon HaShas Patra HaLasar, right? Call Hechad Yisra B'Shabbos Patra HaLasar. That's Shmuel and Daf Gimel. Zev, can you open up to Daf Gimel for a second? I forget if it's on an Aleph or on base, but yeah, on an Aleph, if I remember correctly. There should be a memory here of Shmuel. It's a short Daf, right? Shmuel somewhere. Call Makom Shenemar B. Right? What's got to call like Kriyata? What does it say? Bar Mitzvah, the famous Bar Mitzvah. No, it's not there?
No, it's not.
Maybe it's my mistake. Anyway, somewhere it says, Kol Makom Shenemar Potter, Potter Avalos, and Bar Mitzvah. It's a member of Shmuel. And he has three cases, which mostly have to do with Pikuach Nefesh, where it says Potter, but it means Potter Umut. But other than those three exceptions to the rule, Potter means Potter Avalos. So, in a certain sense, Dovah Shechem is Kamen, which is Osir Mirabanan, says the Ritva regarding Rabbi Yehuda, that's consistent with any tour in Shabbos of Melechus Machshavos. But perhaps we can say something a little more profound. Why do the Rabbanan Asir all these cases of Melech Shein Tzrichel and Gufa according to Rabbi Shimon, of Makalkel even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it goes on and on and on? And the answer is Kedei Lahashvos Im Shari Suri Torah. Whereas the Torah itself on a Doraisa level was more lenient in Shabbos, requiring the fulfillment of Meleches Machsheves and the absence thereof its mutter, that's the Torah law, the Chachamim checked out each particular case, each principle and its application, and came to the conclusion, well, a similar case, a parallel case, in Kol HaTorah would be Oscar. And what the Rabbanim were afraid of, again, if you want to talk in Baal Bakish terminology, they were afraid that if we're going to allow you to do that which the Torah allowed you based on the Chisor Meleches Machsheves, then you're going to make you're going to extrapolate, you're going to go from Shabbos to Kol Torah Kula. And Kol Torah Kula, we don't find any such a thing. There's no Ptur in any, you know, in any Easter in the Torah other than Shabbos of Melechus Shein Tzrichel L'Gufa. There's no Ptur in any Easter and Shabbos of Makalkel. On the contrary, last week we read Baltashtis. Baltashtis itself is a lot of Makalkel. Don't be Makalkel. So we're not going to say that because it's Makalkel you're Potter. That's a Shabbos halacha. So the Rabbanan Hishvu, Midas Shabbos, and Midas Kol HaTorah Kula. That's only if there's no such tour in Kol HaTorah Kula. If you be chayav in Kol HaTorah Kula, then even though in Shabbos you're potter because of Meleches Machsheves, then the Rabbanim are going to ask her. But what happens if I find a ptur that exists not only in the confined limits of Shabbos Meleches Machsheves, but it's a universal ptur, a principle that applies to every single Melecha, and you'd be potter for every single Isur, I meant to say, and you'd be potter for every single Isur based on that principle, then the Rabbanan are not going to ask it. Because then they're not motivated to say, Hishru midas Shabbos l'midas Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the case of Dovah Shechem Iskamen. I have a tremendous hanukkah from this, because I hold it's emes l'amito. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Dovah Shechem Iskamen is also says the Ritva mirabbanan on Shabbos? The answer is, because in Kol HaTorah Kula he'd be chayav on a Doraisa level, Makas Arbohim, in the case of Nazir, in the case of Shatnez, in the case of Koshal Ikrin, And what was the case that the Ritva had? I forget.
Kotzitz.
Yeah, but Kotzitz by Harris. In Kol Torah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda holds Dorashay the Miskavim is Chayav. Now we get to Shabbos. In Shabbos, he's put. Why? Because it wasn't a Melechus Machshava. He didn't have Machshava and a Kavan. Says Rabbi Yehuda, but we have to apply the principle of Hishmu Midas Shabbos. The Midas Kol Torah Kula Midas Rabbanan. It's going to be awesome. Comes along Rabbi Shimon. He says, "Nay, I can't agree with you. Because since Dorash Eni Miskavim is part of the Kol Torah Kula, I reject from you the Shita. I was the one who said that Mochri Ksus Mochri V'kidakan of Elvachlo Iskavnu. I was the one who allowed you to take for Tzorch Refua Koshal Ikrim. If the medical professionals tell you that's what you have to do. I was the one in the Mishnah Nazir on Daf Mem Beis who allowed the Nazir to comb his hair. And if he rips some hair out, to Dovashayna Miskav. I was the one who allowed Tzitzas Baheres, Bitzaras, Bibila. Why? Because Tzitzas Baheres is a Dovashayna Miskav. He's not interested in cutting off the Baheres. Yeah, you have to know about Psegresh, but that's a different question. Therefore, since a Kol Torah Kula, Dovashayna Miskav is Matir, so too it'll be Matir in Shabbos, and if it's Potaru Mutar. So it comes out, Rav Hosai, that when we encounter the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda on every other page in Shabbos, that Dovashayna Miskav is awesome, that has to be understood in two different ways, says the Ritva. If you're dealing with Kol Torah Kula, it means that you can get Malkus for it. It's a violation of the Doraisa, etc., etc. If you're dealing with from Yehuda and Shabbos in Dovashayna Miskav, that's only the Rabbanan. Why? Because in Shabbos we have the unique tour of Melechus Machshavos, and we've proven over and over again that Rabbi Yehuda himself also agrees and admits and adopts the principle of Melechus Machshavos. Why is it also the Rabbanan? Because since in Kol Torah Kula there is no tour of Dom Hashem Miskav, and you'll be Chayav, is therefore Hishmu Midosei.
How come it's only in Yuma? How come the Ritva only brings that down in Yuma when it's such a critical component?
I don't know. I honestly did not check out the Ritva in Shabbos. Maybe you'll find it there too.
Okay.
But you're right. You know, the sugya in Yuma and the sugya in Kira are almost mirror images, except in Yuma. In Yuma, it's the Kohen Gadol case, and in Shabbos, it has nothing to do with Kohen Gadol. It's just a different sugya. But according to Reb Shimon holds that he called Torah Kula Darshan Miskavim is mutter, and therefore in Shabbos, he has no room or reason to create an Issur D'Rabbanan. In other words, we can take the Doraisa law of Dorashayna Miskavim in Shabbos, and we can apply Halacha L'maisa to be Mati. And a Dorashayna Miskavim, according to Reb Shimon, in Shabbos is going to be Potru Mutter. Now, keep in mind that a Dorashayna Miskavim in Kol Torah Kula is Mutter, according to Reb Shimon. And it's wonderful, because Dorashayna Miskavim is Mutter. Whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Shari Surin Torah, the Rabbanan never made such a mistake.
He's more consistent.
The only thing is, in Ketanim, it could be that Reb Shimon might hesitate. That's a machlokes of Yirmiyahu Rabba and Ula, because, hey buddy, this looks a little bit fishy. Why are you dragging it through the...
But you can say that is if you saw it in the Kavan. I mean, you can go back again and say that if it's Katan and you can, then you're fooling yourself, really.
Yeah, or maybe the spectator. You have to know exactly right. how that works. Okay. Now we get to Psikresha. Now, the original sugya Psikresha, in terms of its lumpus, I don't mean where it appears in Shas, it's all over the place in Shas, but in the lumpus of it is in the Sechta Zvach, of all places. Because the Torah at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, I think it's Perek Vav, says Velo Yechada, which means that there's an Isur Lav Doraisa to extinguish the Eish on the Mizbeach. The Eish on the Mizbeach had to be what's the name of this place next door to us? SOS. It had to be
24/7.
24/6. So the Gemara asks the following question. There's a case of Ziluf Yayin al Gabi Mizbeach. And that's called a Karban Adov. Karban Adov means I'm not obligated, but I can accept upon myself a verbal commitment to be Mekayim this mitzvah of Ziluf Yayin. Normally the Yayin was poured for the purpose of Nesachim. In this case, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is by pouring the wine on the Mizbeach, on the Eish. And the Eish now burns up the Yayin. So the Gemara asks, for Hakam HaChaber, he wants to be Mekayim the Kiyum HaMitzvah of what? Of Ziluf Yayin al Gabi Mizbeach. But at the same time, he's violating the Yisur Mechaber, Zok the Gemara, Nab Shimon Hi. The Omen Tov Shein of Iskavim. He has no Kavanah for Kibbutz. Frank the Gemara of a Mother of Shimon Bipsik Reisha. Rav Shimon says, Dov Shein of Iskavim is Mutin Kol Tor Kula, when there's a chance that it'll happen this way, it'll chance this, you will violate the law, then you won't violate the law. But here in this case, it's inevitable, as Harvey said before. And what does that mean? It's inevitable. We know that he's going to cause some sort of kibui. So first the Gemara wants to say, maybe the Mishnah goes going to buy the other mixes kibui, lo shmei kibui. Gemara says, then, even if I hold mixes kibui, shmei kibui, to come zalev b'yayin b'tipin dakos. The Gemara says the heter for Ziluf Yayin is because he's dripping it like really small, piece by, drop by drop.
Or he can.
Oh, excellent. The Gemara's language is Efshar B'tipin Dako. If the Gemara doesn't say V'komis Zalif B'tipin Dako, so Rashi Keva the Efshar L'Zalif B'tipin Dako Lo Havi Psikrish.
Like Lula.
Who?
Like
the Blila?
Kola Vavid B'Lila B'Lila Makev.
Right, so I didn't catch the connection here.
As long as you have that capability.
As long as
you can. Oh, I see. I didn't see what you said. So what's going on over here? Everybody asks the following question. Rashi seems to be assuming that the very possibility of being Mekayim the mitzvah of Ziluf without violating the Isser of Kibbutz makes it into ice psikration. That's Mafkiya psikration. But Rashi doesn't deny that he's being Mezalit B'tipin Gassos, meaning Rashi doesn't require that he be Mezalit B'tipin Dakos. What good is the theoretical possibility of Tipin Dakos when Lamaisa befall, he's being Mezalit B'tipin Gassos? This mice is a mice of psikration.
You could say even more than that. You could say that if he can do it with bedakos and he's doing begasos, that just shows
that adds fuel to the flame. So what do you say, Zeb? That since he could have done it, therefore it's a double shame. Scott, what do you mean?
You know, he actually would like he doesn't want the mizbeach to be extinguished. He wants the fire to continue. He just wants to put the wine on it.
Right.
And therefore, he's it's not that he has any benefit from the fact that it's exactly the opposite. And therefore,
because he doesn't want to violate the Easter, he's a tzaddik. He doesn't want to be machaber. But again, how does this work with psikration? Meaning, what are we saying here according to this Rashi? You know, it's a pretty far-reaching conclusion. Rashi is saying that in Hilchus Psikresha, the Nidon, or the criterion that determines whether it's Psikresha or not, is not the Befal, not the way you're actually implementing the action, but rather the Bekoch, meaning the theoretical definition of the Mice. It reminds me, you know, the Gemara says that Ma'u Livol B'Tchila B'Shabbos, B'Ila Rishon B'Shabbos, it's a Chabura. So the Gemara says, Efshar B'Atoyim. So later on the Gemara says, "Hey, not called b'kiyum b'atoyah." So it's interesting again. You know, this theoretical concept or possibility in the abstract world that he can be mekayim the vila rishona without being motzi dam. And even though the way he's doing it, because he's not a bucky, he's going full stream ahead. It's a psik ratio, but it's not a psik ratio.
So obviously it has to do then with the totsah. I mean, it's not a concept of the, it doesn't define your machshava, but really there's a certain totsah here. Now, the concept of psik ratio is taken from the case of shechting an animal. Psik ratio v'lo yamut. I mean, that's what it's talking about. You can't cut off an animal's head. There's no way to do that without it dying.
Right.
There is no way to do that. So that is the technical aspect. That is a psik ratio. If there is no way to do it without the totsa'ah, then that falls into
the psik ratio. But I'm asking you a different question, Dalia. In the way I'm doing it, but also tzura, but also tzura shalapula, it's impossible.
But you're going back to the machshava of what you want to do now. It doesn't make a difference. The technique is possible. At this point, that's not the way you're doing it. But it doesn't fall under the category of psik ratio, because psik ratio is the case is when there is no other way to do it other than that one totsah. So if you do have a way to do it without getting to that totsah, then it just doesn't fall into the category of psik ratio.
It's less of a kavanah. I mean, I'm just
no. So he's saying it's not a matter of kavanah. It's just not a concept of kavanah. It's a matter of totsah. So if you can get to a different totsah, then even now.
Let's go with this. I'm Torah Hebrew a little learning, so. We say Modar Reb Shimon B'Psik Reish.
Right.
That means the principle of Dovr Shem is coming. Who are you fooling? It's a Psik Reish. You know what's going to happen. So what do you tell me? You don't have Kavana?
You know that it has to happen. That's what Rashi would say.
Right.
And so in this particular case, when you start pouring, that's when my Pula is. When you start pouring, it doesn't have to happen. The Mafreya, it did happen. Mm-hmm. But when you started pouring, it didn't have to happen.
Even if he was pouring deep in Ugaso.
When you started pouring, it could have come out
before
as
the Tipa, before the Tipa.
That's right. It could have come out as Tipin Dakos.
No, but I'm asking you a different question. He picks up in his hand a Tipa Gasa. And Rashi says it's Muti. But after the deep in Dakos, he could have done it otherwise. Why is that not a psik ratio?
He's got the jug of wine, and he's pouring it.
He's pouring gasas.
But he could pour.
That's what I'm saying. If you're talking in terms of Dovr Shem B'Skaven, and if we assume that the whole thrust of psik ratio is to tell me that, look, buddy, you know, you're doing what you're doing, and you're having kavana to do what you're doing, and you know the results that you're doing. No one's fooling anything. All the cards are on the table. They don't tell you you're not mechafe. Only you are mechafe.
So Rashi is saying that only if there is only one possible result to the beginning of your kuvula, is that considered a psik ratio. If there are two
Rashi is certainly saying that, but the question is why, on a deeper level? There are two possible totsa'ot, but I do it, I implement it in a way that there's only one possible totsa'ot.
No. After you did it already, at that point, there was only one.
No, I can predict it even before he does it. No. That if he does it in this way, right, following matkon, then it's definitely going to create an isur. So let me just, I'll tell you, we have to end because I think it's getting late now. I just want to share with you the insight of Rabbi Elchanan Vasil, even though he was murdered by the Nazis, you actually looked. Rabbi Elchanan wants to say the following. Fascinating approach. Rabbi Elchanan says, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dovr Shem B'Skaven? Why does Rabbi Shimon say that Dovr Shem B'Skaven is mutter? And we're going to talk about Kol HaTorah Kulo, forgetting about Shabbos and the Lechus Machshavos.
No, I can't.
He says the following. That two outcomes of one action is like two different actions. He wants to suggest the following. The Chiddush of Dovr Shem B'Skaven is that if I'm doing two things, A and B, at the same time, number one, I'm transporting the chairs, and number two, I'm creating charitzim in the ground. How's along Rav Shimon? And he says, well, which of those two actions are mine? Is it A? Is it B? Is it A plus B? And they're both mine. Here's the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda says, you're doing two actions, they're both yours. You are at the same time transporting and you're creating charitzim. How's along Rav Shimon? And he says, no. There are two actions. and you're doing only one action. Chak pula chak mityaches tila. Which of the two pulot relate to you? What determines which one? Kavan. However, comes along Rabbi Elchanan and he says the logic and the mechanics of Rabbi Shimon doesn't work in the case of psikresha. Why? Because psikresha combines the two maisim into one. It makes it one maisa, not two pu'ulas. Not one pu'ula, but not two pu'ulas, but one pu'ula. Indivisible. Rabbi Shimon allows you in a Dorosh HaEmes Kavi to say that my pu'ula is X and not Y. But that's because Y could happen, might happen, or might not happen. And then I could define this two maisa. Rabbi Shimon's goal is to define two maisa. Then Kavanah could play a role. In psik resh, I don't have two maisa. So I thought, that's already my own musings, this Rabbi Elchanan doesn't say this, that in the context of Rabbi Elchanan's analysis, maybe we could explain this concept of theoretical, meaning psik resh or not psik resh does not depend upon the befall, the actual way I'm implementing the maisa, but the abstract definition of the maisa. There's something called Be'ila Rishona. Does Be'ila Rishona mean Chabura? Is it one maisa? Or is it two maisa? And the answer is Yesh B'kiyum Ba'al Torah. Is Zilu Yayin Kibui? Efsha B'tikin Dakos. The Efsha B'tikin Dakos means that there are two different pu'ulos al pi din. The halacha steps in and says that zilut yayin is not kivui. Haraya, I can obtain and achieve my kiyum of what? Of kiyum mitzvah zilut yayin without kivui. The way he does it is secondary. What we're dealing with is the abstract definition. Do we have one maisa or two maisa? The chidush of psik resha is that we have one mice. So once you have one mice, you're miscarrying to that mice. And you have. So now we can suggest that that's the Rashi in Tzvachim, and maybe the Sugi Ksubas of Bilu Shona, that the theoretical possibility of achieving goal A without goal B is enough to separate as two different mice. And then once we separate as two different mice, and we're back to Rav Shimon's halacha of Dover Shane and Miskam. Adkan. All right, Rav Moshe, we'll have Mincha now, and wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom, and a special Mazel Tov to Gedal Yol on the occasion of his Bar Mitzvah's son, and I also have Bar Mitzvah to go to. Unfortunately, I won't be here. My grandson is getting Bar Mitzvah, that's my Bechar. So that's in Mogdiyin. If it was in Mogdiyin, I'd be walking. Mazel Tov, Shabbat Shalom. A lot of Hanoh and a lot of Nachas from all your beautiful children. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much. Yeah.